Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the desert travelers moving through Sector 12, seeking magic oil. It is October the 22nd, 2023, Bo Blimpdoc. Right around 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, here somewhere near Grinkentown on the Olympic Peninsula. The Scrungly people are forming Mungit tribes deep in the woods. They are up there building lean-to, building trebuchet filled with love up in that Olympic National Forest. Even the park rangers are too afraid to tread. Even the Bigfoot is afraid it'll end up dead, being eaten by extreme campers armed with REI, armed with Arctic Fox, armed with special tools, armed with hatchets, armed with pain, baby. Armed with pain. If you hate the Jedi, wear a condom. It's an STD. That's what we were told, you know. That was the big revelation of the whole Star Wars mythos after the Emperor was tossed down the hole. Yes, to be a Jedi in the Star Wars mythos is to have herpes. I have midi-chlorians. No, son, you have space gonorrhea. Yes, temporarily it's giving you superpowers, but eventually it'll eat away at your brain. The spirochites, like with really bad syphilis, will dig in deep, and you will go crazy. You will lose your hair. You'll shoot lightning bolts. You'll kill younglings. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I love the strangeness, even when it cuts deep. I love the crystal clear water of madness, even when I get tossed about on the rapids. I love the ancient sea and the waves that crest, making their white cap grace. Did I say white cop when I meant white cap? What's the difference? It's the same. There's a white cop chasing you, baby. So I have many tricks, many forms of lesser magic, neuro-linguistic. One is the power of Creed. Now, Creed is spelled Charlie Romeo Echo Echo Delta. That's that group, you know, I don't know who sings for it, I don't care. They sing those songs like, you know, arms wide open, I'm standing in the hospital, my girl is pregnant now, holy cow. I mean, Creed was really the ace of base of the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, all that I want is another baby with arms wide open, right? But you go into a bar. and they're playing music, and the waitress comes up to you, and she says, "How do you like the music?" And I said, "Well, it's really great, but can I hear some Creed?" And you get that look from that waitress. She's about 25. She looks at you crookedly and is angry. "Can I have some Creed? Can I have that ripoff Eddie Vedder singing his howling songs about being a puppy daddy?" Yeah, just tell that waitress you want to hear Creed, and you will introduce a thought into that person's head. It's not the truth, it's fucked up, but asking for Creed at a bar is a lot like babies crying in military psychological warfare. It's sort of like Catcher in the Rye, it's a signal. I've already told you about the party staring trick. Go to a party, hang out, and then lock eyes with somebody. Some stranger, just lock eyes, but every time they look at you, look away. You'll raise their blood pressure. You'll introduce dark thoughts. It's called the staring trick. It's nothing special. Of course, you can make up words. I do that. I make up words for things. I do it almost as a kind of intellectual self-defense in the age of censorship, but I do, like boovula, or scrongliosis, or scrumbly, or scrongo. Yeah, there's a pattern there, though, isn't there? And of course, you can just send people pictures of penis surgery you get off of Google. Eric Schmidt said they only give a right answer, so we'll leave it there. Next topic. So I'm not going to read this article, but there was an article on Zero Hedge about Tucker Carlson announcing that George Floyd was not killed, he simply died of an overdose. And I said this like 3 years ago, more or less 3 years ago. Let's see, it's 2023, 22, 21. Yeah, about 3 years ago, after the summer of paranoia, after the bullshit of Chazchopia, after taking enough video on my own to come to the realization that the little bit of BLM Antifa I saw in Seattle was 100% government-funded PSYOP bullshit. And so that you could say the fruit of the poison tree tells you a story. I'm going to tell you this Tucker Carlson story is a lot like those Saudi Arabia papers from 9/11. It's a limited hangout. It's not the truth. They're telling you a little bit of something that can kind of assuage you, but it's not the fucking truth. The truth is, probably the entire incident was manufactured. The truth is, by late April, early May of 2020, people were starting to reject the COVID bullshit. Especially a lot of Christians who, you know, wanted to celebrate Easter. And so, yeah. By Memorial Day, if they wanted to keep the bullshit going, they had to come up with a halftime show. And that was, you know, the BLM Antifa Race War Palooza 2020. 100% government-constructed bullshit. Do I know why? I don't, really. I have theories. I think that we're in the age of Bo Blimpdoc, and I think that they've turned up the level of lying to past 11. In that Spinal Tap sense. Yeah, I don't know why. I just know that it was bullshit. And I'm pretty certain it was bullshit designed to take the focus off of COVID because people were beginning to realize, only a few weeks into it, that it might just be the flu renamed, the flu and the cold, and that the rest of it was hospital-acquired infection preventable is the key word. And yeah, if a hospital has a choice between getting a check for 45 grand or being sued because some kid got a fungal infection from an OR, I'm kind of thinking the hospital takes the fucking check. What do you think? Dan, that's crazy. Well, have you worked around hospitals, shithead? Yeah. So if you want to believe this Tucker Carlson limited hangout story, that's up to you. I think it gets closer to the truth. And as far as George Floyd goes, what have I said before? Every great American psyop is also a snuff flick. So yeah, there's a good chance that George Floyd was killed. But he wasn't killed for any other reason but to create trauma. Divide and conquer, division, hatred. If there's a legitimate group of people in this country fighting for people of color, they should be pissed off about what happened in 2020. They should recognize that their legitimate concerns were hijacked. But again, it doesn't matter. Next fucking topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The mortgage has turned almost every homeowner into a tiny Hitler. Yes, 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 the liberals, the progressives, the Republicans, they're all the same. They get the mortgage and they realize their home is worth $5.6 billion dollars. That's what the county assessor said. They would not lie. They wouldn't lie, would they? Yeah, the mortgage. Here's the deal, folks. I'm okay with anti-communism. The communists kill my people first. I'm an anarchist. Okay, we don't end up in the fucking poem. Nobody gives a fuck they came for us first. That's why we don't end up in the fucking poem. The reality is they come for us because what we represent, in an absolute sense, is a desire to live free. And that is as opposed to every communist tendency you can find. But in our crooked neo-Stalinist hellhole, there are a lot of people who believe their home is a representation of private property. Let me go through the thing here. If you have to pay a fee on something, if you have to pay a license fee, if you have to pay a tax, and I don't care about the fucking tax, well, I like some taxes, fuck you. If you're forced to use crooked money to do all these things, yeah, you probably don't own your home. You may think you own your home, and I think a lot of people have weird beliefs these days, but you probably don't. But what's worse than that is this phenomena, this post-Fannie Freddie turn your home into a Weimar wheelbarrow pyramid phenomena has turned a lot of people into fucking assholes. Because they look at homeless people, they're told that, well, homeless people are drug addicts and drunks and criminals and liars and thieves and crazy. And again, I say that sounds a lot like the Senate and the House of Representatives. Yeah. Distinction without a difference, motherfucker. Yeah. We've objectified them. I mean, that's the first step. If you want to turn people into garbage you're going to throw away, the first step is to objectify them, to say, well, they're just garbage, they're just crap, we can put them on McNeil Island, they can fish for salmon that aren't there, they can hunt for the crab, well, get cancer. Yeah. Like Dr. Freckles said, the mortgage has turned almost every homeowner into a tiny Hitler. Next topic. I was elected the last Lord of Boblimpdoc. My kestrel women are covered in oils and greases, and they suckle upon the fruit of Tybos. While undulating and writhing and producing their own doobie jelly, they are mine. I am the last lord. The last lord of Boblimpdoc. I am here to stay. My women are there for me. They live in the woods, baby. Maybe they live in my head. Maybe they are fantasies. But they are my women. And I'm the last lord of Boblimpdoc. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Show me an empire or a pyramid or a random Greek or Roman god. I'll show you the residue of some fallen angel. Show me an ancient artifact or the Nazca lines. Yeah, there was a fallen angel there, pretending to be a little god, lowercase g. Show me an empire or a pyramid or a random Greek or Roman god, and I'll show you the residue of some fallen angel. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one. I have a good friend who I do podcasts with every once in a while, and we were thinking about doing a podcast about subjects of what you could call forbidden history, history we're not supposed to discuss. Specifically, the question, to what extent are we lied to about history itself, about the timeline, about what's really happened? I mean, at the end of the day, you have the books in the library, you have, whatever artifacts you can discover, but really, what solid evidence do you have as a human being that what you've been told about the past is true? It may seem as if you have really solid evidence, but you might not, baby. Next topic. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. A person once said the history of civilization is the history of locking up food. And this is kind of true. The real history of civilization is the history of locking up the human mind. Dr. Freckles. This is something I've talked about before. In 1988, when I just graduated high school, I was asked to be a counselor at Boise State in the state of Washington. The previous summer, I had been governor of Boise State to my shame. To my own credit, between that summer and the summer to come, on one particular date during homecoming week, I excused most of the senior class for a whole day. Yeah, I got Saturday school. But in the summer of 1988, I was asked to be a counselor, and I shouldn't have taken the job. It was a dumb job. I don't know why they offered it to me. But there was this one day when all the 17-year-olds were bored. I think it was towards the end of Boise State for them, and I was bored. And we were standing kind of in an open area near some elevators, and I made the offhand comment, which was stupid. Wouldn't it be funny if all you guys, most of whom looked like they played high school football, and there was about 20 people there, wouldn't it be funny if you all loaded up on that elevator and tried to go up a floor? And you'd say, well, Dan, that doesn't sound too bad, and why would anybody follow those orders? Yeah, that's a good question, shithead. Because keep in mind, if you believed in the Boy State mythos, whatever, of the 1980s, you would believe these were some of the best and the brightest young men in the state of Washington, and yet all it took was two or three sentences, and I sent 20 kids, 1 year younger than me, into an elevator to try to go up a floor. And you could say to yourself, well, Dan, why did you do it? I don't know. I was fucking bored. And in reality, I didn't believe they'd do it. I didn't. I thought that people had common sense. At some point, even a dumb teenager has common sense. And some of these young men suffer from claustrophobia, which I would later find out. Because it turns out on a Sunday at Eastern Washington University, it's not that easy to find an elevator repairman. Not in 1988. And you say, well, how is this connected to the Dr. Freckles quote? Well, I agree. On one level, the history of civilization is the history of locking up food. But in fact, the real history is the history of locking up the human mind and producing structures, programs, forms of education that perpetuate a kind of slavish and stupid obedience. And it's always been true. It was true 7,000 years ago when a bunch of random freaks said, hey, we can tell you when there's going to be an eclipse because we're connected to the universe, not because we've been piling stones and counting things. No, we have superpowers. We can do the irrigation. We're not going to teach you, but if we control it, we'll give you water. And if you treat us like kings, well, did I tell you we have superpowers? Yeah. Indeed. I am who I am. I believe in freedom, but I also think that a lot of humans at this point may not be fully equipped for it. It's hard to say. There is no option. I mean, if we don't get off this road of the super state, if for some bizarre reason the laws of thermodynamics allow this thing to continue, which I don't think it will, but let's say it does, then it will lead to the effective extinction of the human race. Even if hundreds of years in the future there's one or two of us left in metal boxes screaming to die, they will be the last humans left alive. They'll be the last ones. So I don't know. In some ways, the elevator incident of 1988 was my own tiny COVID, but I was the shithead. I was the one telling sane people to load up an elevator and go up a floor. I was the one telling people to lock down. In that brief time, those hours waiting for the guy, it was horrifying to me. But I wonder, is the psychological damage that was caused by the military psychological warfare of 2020 and currently ongoing, do you think that horrifies the people in charge? Do you think the shitheads who run things are horrified? Or maybe they just don't fucking care. I don't know. The one thing a lot of sane people can agree upon is 2020 destroyed a lot of lives. And it's hard to say that there could ever be a good reason for it. Next topic. If you find, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If you find a time traveler, you gotta kill him. If you find a time traveler, bury them out back. Don't tell anybody about it. If you find a time traveler, you got to take them out. They aren't here to help you. They aren't here to make your life better. They are mad people driven by their own rage and revenge and greed and scumbaggery. They are witches and wizards, and all they want to do is fuck with time. They may make changes that take away your true love. They may make changes that give your life more pain. They may make changes that drive us all insane. Kill the time traveler. He is not your friend. That's just some good advice. Next topic. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. If I'm ever heading towards the light, I want to keep going. If I'm heading towards the light and feeling the warmth of the sun and being welcomed to the great beyond, fuck off, shithead. I want to keep on going. I've seen the light. I don't need any more darkness. Yeah. if I'm ever heading towards the light. Dan, that's really dark. I don't know. I've told you guys this in recent weeks. I don't want to die, but I'm not clinging to this world so tightly that I'm afraid to die. It isn't to say that it wouldn't be great to keep living. My life's not so bad. I have food. I have water. I have shelter. I have some enjoyment. I haven't quite found my groove yet, so I'm still kind of wandering, the wasteland of my mind, trying to figure out how I'm going to do the podcasting. I got a chapter of a book I wrote, but I'm too afraid to get it up yet. Maybe I'll get it up today. Maybe I'll get it up tomorrow. I'm not in the groove yet here, but is it bad? No. No. No, I like this life a lot. I love it. And I'm grateful to the Lord in heaven for what I have. But if you're to ask me, Dan, if you ever had stage 4 cancer, would you undergo massive amounts of chemo at this point in human history after 2020? It is definitively, fuck you, no. And even though I can't tell a person if I'm unconscious to not resuscitate, I have jokingly said in recent years that if I ever get a fucking tattoo, it'll be a giant DNR on my chest. Do not resuscitate, with little tattoos representing the lawyer and the notary public present. Dan, that's not a legal document. Well, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I love this life, but if you were to tell me, Dan, you know, will you cling on to every last second and fight to the bitter end for one more day? And the simple answer is maybe. It depends. It really depends. Right now, I just can't tell you. And you could say, well, Dan, that's because you're depressed. Not really. It's more like I just am not obsessed with this idea that living extra years is going to be that fucking meaningful at this point. Next topic. The Mandela effect is waste energy from overlapping time wars. The dilated now stretches back to 1900. Much is left unresolved. The cat is alive. The cat is dead. Hey, was it Kool-Aid? Or Ed McMahon? Yeah. I don't know. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If we destroy the moon, we liberate mankind from its suffering. We all know this. Next topic. Hey, here's something from Catcher in the Rye I really loved. I'm always saying glad I met you to someone I'm not glad I met. So this is from J.D. Salinger. This is Catcher in the Rye. And this is Holden Caulfield talking. I'm always saying glad I met you to someone I'm not glad I met. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I have, you know. And you could say there's something dishonest about it, but really, how do you maintain the peace? Sometimes you meet people, and they're cool, and you like them, and they're great people. And sometimes you meet people, and they're giant shitheads. I'm a hermit, so I don't easily meet people. And you know, in recent weeks, I've met a lot of new people. And pretty much all of them are pretty cool. You know, I even met somebody yesterday, a cool dude. His life can remain anonymous. But I do meet other people, these random people, these people I'll meet at restaurants talking about their fucking wood-fired pizza and their organic kale and their fucking shrimp that was sourced by some fucking Tibetan someplace in Nepal, and I'm not interested in your lavender bullshit, Mr. and Mrs. Squim. We have a lavender farm. I know you do, motherfucker. We raise llamas. Oh, that's funny. Do they spit at you? So, I decided to invent a new mathematics, and I'm working on the first book of it. It's an entirely new mathematical system, and I'm willing to reveal some of it to you. It's called Danometry, towards a new theory of thoughts concerning ideas. The fundamental theorem of Danometry is the following: you get circles and lines. If you're a dick about Danometry, we take away the lines. Axiom one: the interior angles of all triangles add up to 7 hippos and $5 million. Axiom two: there are not 360 degrees on a circle. No, there are 219.6 degrees. That's 219.6. This flaw in thinking is why we've not been back to the moon with people in 50 years. Axiom 3. The only way to become competent in mathematics is to donate $500 a month to my podcast. That's Axiom 3, baby. Theorem 1. Given Axiom 1 and Axiom 3, the following is true. No two hookahs can occupy the same honey bucket at the same time unless pimp fuel is used. Pimp fuel is created using snow cone machine residue and the dork flesh of a nearly dead politician. Theorem 2: if you assume Axiom 3 is true, then you can derive the following simpliciter via the generalized rules of thought developed by Eugen the Sky Farmer. And according to his ancient thoughts, you have to give Dan at least $500 a month, or he'll hang out back behind your house and do something bad. You can see how this is true. Axiom 4. Axiom 4: parallelograms don't exist. Shut up about them. There will be trouble. Axiom 5: if any two functions allow you to get to the same answer, then the functions exist within the general fabric of equivalent functions, and such functions will create spheres, and with those spheres, we will endure and love each other. That's Axiom 5. Axiom 6: conic sections can only be created using stainless steel, Teflon-coated knives. If you live in England, you are not allowed to create these sections, but you can still buy them on the black market. Axiom 7: numbers are possessed by demons. Axiom 8: if you are able to solve a complicated problem involving many linear equations, then you're a fucking nerd, and we're gonna see you in the bathroom during the break. And you're going to learn a new shape called the swirly. Theorem 3. Given Axiom 6 and Axiom 4, you can derive a general rule for making quick cash with my brand new synchronously available multi-level cash flow scheme. You just have to send me $2,000 right now. I'll send you some polygons to destroy you if you don't. And if you don't, I'll send you math problems involving factoring quadratics, you fuck. So send me the money. Theorem 4. Theorem 4, a corollary to Axiom 7, is that your ex-wife was a whore. She dumped you for Neil. What the fuck kind of name is Neil? You live in a camper and eat cold beans and soggy remorse. Your dog ran off to join the wolves nearby, and they're all working out how they get quote-unquote steak dinner. And you can always change careers, but that means you slide deeper into the abyss they call the American dream. So why not just do crack? It's logic. That's theorem 4 of Danometry. Axiom 9. You can have triangles if you pay us $200 a month and are willing to let us visit and hang out in your backyard and do stuff. We'll talk about what kind of stuff when we get there. But you can't have isosceles triangles, not unless you pay more money and provide hookers. Axiom 10. Right triangles are wrong. They just don't help anybody. Right triangles are wrong. They're miserable things. Right triangles are smarties. They cannot be with us. Get rid of them, baby. That's Axiom 10. A squared plus B squared equals bullshit. Axiom 11. Equilateral triangles really love cubes. That's right, Axiom 11. Equilateral triangles really love those cubes. But they are feeling like cubes aren't growing as people, and so they want to see other people. Theorem 5. Women will break your heart. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Not if you want to pass this class and achieve total victory against the slug knights of Region 21 Zebra. That's Theorem 5. Axiom 12. Screaming loudly increases a student's ability to do math. Totally. If you scream at a student, they increase their math skills 8,000,000,000%. That's totally true. Axiom 12. Axiom 13. There are 4 things you think you know about perpendicular lines, and a 5th thing you'll never guess. Axiom 14. 90% of all food consumed by high school students contains dead rabbit bones, old fish scales, and nuclear waste from various NRC-regulated nuke-to-food programs run by the Egg Department, baby. If you sample 2/3 of the waste generated, you'll find that it glows in the dark and is rich in vitamin C. That's Axiom 14. Axiom 15. There's no way to square the circle. It is futile and filled with darkness. You will battle for centuries. It will be depressing. Don't try to square the circle. Better to live in a cave, just like Pythagoras. Don't eat those beans. And then maybe, baby, after several years, your heart will crystallize and your income will increase by 700%. That's Axiom 15. Axiom 16, Danometry is based, and because it's based on 4 numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. If I get to 5, bad things happen. That's right. Don't ask for a number greater than 5 or less than 1. But remember, there are an infinite number of real numbers between 1 and 4. So am I not generous, Axiom 16, shithead? I came from the forest when the herald brought the message and the wizard burned the virgins. I lived in the woods till I was 3, and no man saw my fire and no woman sought my glance. I ate worms and dead raccoons and droppings from Hester hocks. And I got lost in it, in the sootiness of the forest, living off them things that are deep in the soil, hidden from the light. I lost my fight. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I bet crooked rich banker shithead people do a trading places all the fucking time. I bet Goldman Sachs motherfuckers and even Jerome Powell, they do a trading places all the time. They go out there and find themselves a smart dude and a dumb dude and say, what if we swap them and bet 50 cents? And then one of them says 50 cents is too much. I've got to pay for gasoline, so why don't we bet a penny? And we'll destroy their lives, and we'll mock them. But the difference is, with this version of Trading Places, Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd do not end up at an island at the end. They end up, you know, basically in metal drums, dissolving an acid somewhere in the Pine Barrens. Yeah, how do you like my trading places? Dan, that's terrible. Fuck you. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Root of X, grow fast, dwindle long. Square root of X, you grow fast, baby, but you'll dwindle forever. You rose so quickly to lead the throng, and now you grow slowly as X approaches infinity. So, there's an article from the New York Post I'm tempted to read, and I probably will because it's so critical as far as news goes. This was published in the New York Post on October the 17th. The author of the article is Andrew Court. Headline, I slept with 300 people in a year. Haters say I'm disgusting, but I feel empowered. Oh boy, baby, you do, don't you? An Australian woman who says she had sex with more than 300 people in 1 year found the experience quote-unquote empowering. Annie Knight, 26 years old, told the Kyle and Jackie O Show that she managed to bed 5 people in a single day during the frisky, fun-filled year. I felt empowered, the amorous Aussie declared. Sex makes me feel good. It's meant to make you feel good, okay? Knight sleeps with men and women and told the radio program that she met many of her sex partners on dating apps. However, she also has a roster of regulars on speed dial, and she calls up them people anytime she feels like getting down and dirty. The messier the sex, the better, she enthused. Knight, who has been dubbed Australia's most sexually active woman, that's a cheap race, added that nothing is off limits when it comes to experimenting in the bedroom, saying, I'm down to try anything. However, not everyone is impressed with Knight's unashamed enthusiasm for sex, with one hater describing her as disgusting. Oh boy. Knight, who has an OnlyFans account, I'm so shocked, was also fired from her marketing job after the bosses uncovered her saucy cyber activities. The sex enthusiast told the Kyle and Jackie O Show that there's no shortage of kinky content on her page, as she does pretty much everything with her boovula on the camera. Knight recently hit the headlines after she spoke out about being axed from her job with a separate outlet. The last thing I wanted to do was to get fired if someone found my OnlyFans, she told the SBS Insight recently. There was a list of three reasons why I was fired, basically, Knight stated, saying she was very upset and very angry by her company's decision to axe her. They said I falsely advertised that I had a side, or falsely advised that I had a side business, didn't ask for permission from the company to run the side business, and that I had online pornographic images of myself and crude language that was against company rules, she declared. Oh my God. However, Knight isn't looking back. No way, baby. And she says she now earns $1,000 a day. That's not so bad, baby, working with your boobula. She makes a grand a day with her risque content, which fans can pay a monthly subscription to view. Oh boy, maybe I should create an OnlyFans, right? Maybe one day I will have an OnlyFans, maybe. Did you know that I could be Star Captain Chris? I could. I could be Star Captain Chris. I could be the Trident leader of the last Starfleet of Gorgas, Gorgas Troll. Our forces are being chased and hounded by the evil lesbian galaxy beastress Wodanda. Her body vibrates with the joy of combat, and she seeks the grease energy of swampy love and female inmates, scantily clad in a Pam Grier kind of way, escaping from some misogynistic prison in the Everglades. Her main forces are rendezvousing near Tigris Prime, where the squid merchants sell blue spice to the Tiglin slaves and whores. They carry shaft swords and pingo guns. They rant and rave and scale the walls, baby, using superpowers, using suction, if you know what I mean, baby. I could battle her and defeat her, maybe marry her, except she's a lesbian. Yes, if I was Star Captain Chris, I might find my true love on the planet Eir, where Nazi salamander armies wage war with the frog people. And no one knows why, and no one cares, for caring is for the weak stones and the gravel and the sand. We could move our last platoon to the edge of nowhere, the event horizon of meaningless plunder. My shaft, and my ship would use old-style fission drives, and our workers would manually adjust the control rods with bare hands, burning themselves with radiation. And sometimes things go wrong, and that's why we have space, you know, to take care of, you know, to dump the bodies. Sure, our spacecraft, the Zebramo, moves at a fast clip, but them there lesbian ships are faster. The lesbian starships have access to pure spliz oil. It is the lubricant of hyperlight travel. Everybody knows this. Some say with pure spliz, you can reach 77 times the speed of light, and along the way, you get a happy ending. Sure, it could be lies, but if I was Star Captain Chris, I'd know. They'd sing songs of Captain Chris. They'd sing songs of my victories over the Pirates of Glim. They'd sing of my heroic efforts, saving the gooby people of Glob 33. If I was Star Captain Chris. Yes, they'd sing of my heroic efforts saving the gooby people of Blob 33. Yes, they'd sing of amazingness and cool time fun if I were Captain Chris. If I were Captain Kriz, I'd settle worlds in Region 43Z and find myself embroiled in conflicts of the Fourth Skleban War. They'd holler mean things at me and kick me in the nads and set fire to my spaceship. This was the price of being a Vorg minion. I could have left the castle. I could have left the cast. I could have cast my line deep into the dark of the galaxy, but my rod was soft and my heart enlarged. And maybe Wodonda's friend Dorilla, the boob queen, is interested in me, and we end up having babies, and they carry on the journey for Star Captain Kriz. Maybe. If I was Star Captain Kriz. Hard to say, people, hard to say. We live in a strange universe where Star Captain Kriz exists. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The overlapping time wars where the dilated now puts into question all things. The overlapping time wars are not meant to be one. They are meant to be awesome. The overlapping time wars of all the Nazis and time Hitlers and time communists, the overlapping time wars involving the Neanderthal sect of 60,000 years ago, the overlapping time wars of Bill Gates and mutant Bill Gates and Steve Jobs the robot, they're happening every moment. You can't tell except when you get deja vu. You can't tell except for you have a memory that never happened. You can't tell unless you fight somebody. Is Kool-Aid spelled with a K? Is Kool-Aid spelled with a C? The overlapping time wars. They were never meant to be won. There is no victory. But they were meant to be awesome. I don't know. What if World War II became a time war, you know? I started a series of stories that I never finished called Little Saigon Diary. And Time Hitler plays a big role in that one, but let's move on to the next topic. What if you had $1 million? What would you do with $1 million? I'll tell you what, baby. I would do one woman at the same time. Now, of course, in that famous film Office Space, you know, that neighbor, he said he'd do two women at the same time. But in 23 years, there's been inflation, fucker. Fuck you. If I had $1 million, I'd do one woman at the same time. But she would have nice jugs. Dan, you're crazy. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. The state, the government, being an asshole as an art form. Next topic. I've already beat up on the government thing a lot today, but whatever. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. But in truth, a hobo gets what a hobo builds. A hobo gets what a hobo makes. A hobo is happy to sweep out the garage. But a hobo ain't never gonna be rich, except for in love, rich in love and peace. Because a hobo gets what a hobo builds. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. The world was never going to be a paradise, but it could have been a garden. Because we pursued paradise, we turned it into a landfill. The the world was never going to be a paradise. You got kicked out of Eden. If you're an atheist, you should know this already. But it could have been a garden, but you turned it into a landfill. That's because you're a fuckhead. That's because you build towers of Babel. No, I'll spend a few minutes on this one. My basic contention is that the environment, the ecology, the planet, including people, would be healthier if we understood that freedom is not a nice to have. Freedom is not something that you pay taxes to get. Without liberty, people die. Without liberty, nature dies. Without consequences, we never learn a lesson. The problem is the government abstracts out consequences, and in the process, we end up turning the oceans into shitholes. We end up turning our rivers into crap beds. We end up creating a lot of problems that are subsidized by the abstraction, by the bullshit. I say, take away the fucking abstraction. I say, take away the fucking training wheels. I say, too big to fail is bullshit. Period. Doesn't mean we can't be kind to real people who need help when the too big to fail implodes, but do we need to write a check to somebody that has 6 islands so they can keep all of them? I think that rich motherfucker can live with 1 island. What do you think, son of a bitch? Yeah. The money printing, the Keynesianism, the neo-Stalinist bullshit, it abstracts out the reality that none of this is free. That Heinlein was right. There ain't no such fucking thing as a free lunch. They don't exist. And between you and me, we could give the oceans voluntarily a break for about 100 years. Indigenous people, small-time fishermen, let them go. I don't want more laws. I don't want more missiles or bombs. This makes the situation worse. But voluntarily, we as human beings could give the oceans a break for about a century. And who knows? Next topic. I'm going to skip this rant. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Fine is pretty good this year. Fine, you're doing pretty well. If you're feeling fine this year, that's awesome. Yeah. People will ask me how I'm doing and I'll say fine. And what they really want me to say is, oh, Dan, you know that the acronym, fuck you about the acronym for fine. I don't give a fuck. You know when I say fine, I mean I have food, water, shelter. I mean I have some basic stuff to bring a little bit of joy. And I'm pretty fucking lucky. And yeah, I do live in a camper in the woods, and I'm still pretty fucking lucky. That's what fine means. If you want me to tell you it means I have a multi-layer cash scheme that you can get in on today, and I'm going to walk around. I got a lot of Freudian slips today. If you think I'm going to walk around some mansion, which is really just a shitty home, with my widescreen mode on my YouTube turned on, so you can pretend I live like a king because I have a multi-level cash scheme, I can do that, baby. And then I'll be better than fine, right? Because I'll have a multi-level, you can get involved now by paying me a small fee scheme. You can become a millionaire just like me. Look at my house. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, that's great. I appreciate it. And you're using your own time, and time is money, and time is a resource. So that's pretty cool. And if you can mention my podcast to other people you think would be interested, that'd be pretty helpful. If you want to donate to it, that's up to you. Before you donate, listen to the disclaimer, okay? Take care of your food, water, shelter first. If you're unable to take care of your food, water, shelter, you have no fucking business donating to a random shithead on the internet, okay? If there are people in your life that need help, help them first before you help somebody and donate to their podcast. If you've set aside food for yourself and your family and you have a pet, I'm a fan of dogs, but you might have a cat, that's okay. If you've set aside food for yourself, think about your pet. If you got 6 months of extra food for yourself and your family, try to have that much food for your dog. Because that dog, even a Frenchie, will do its thing to protect you. It won't be much from a Frenchie. But the point is, your dog will do what it can. So do what you can for your dog. And remember, it's not the end of the world. These are crazy fucking times. This is Bo Blimp Doc, and it's crazy. But it's not the end of the world. And you can still go to the store and get yourself a nice steak. You can still go to a movie if you want to see one. You can still take a friend out on a date. You can still pick up the phone and call somebody you haven't spoken with in a long, long time. So before you donate to any podcast, to include mine, remember it's not the end of the world. And one of the people that you need to take care of right now is you. Because it's crazy. It is. It is crazy. Things are weird and upside down, and it could get a lot crazier, but still not the end of the world. It's Sunday, October the 22nd, 2023, Bo Blimp Talk, just after 11 a.m. here in the Grinken Forest of the Olympic National whatever. We're surrounded by Koblet gangs and coyotes and random cougars, if you know what I mean. We're surrounded by the beasts of the woods, and they smell of the moistness and sadness of anger and rage, and they want my flesh. They howl at night, singing songs of doom, telling me, come to the woods, Dan, give up on your mortal coil. Have a great rest of your Sunday.